Cedric, would you offer us a prayer before we begin?
Yes, sure. Let's talk about it, please. Dear God, Father, we come at this time, Lord, thanking you, Lord, for this beautiful day you've given us, Lord, this first day of the week, Lord, to come out and be together, Lord, as saints of yours, and to worship, Lord, to edify one another, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Stephen stepping in, Lord, for Larry and Anthony this morning and guiding this class, Lord. This class that we've been into this last 13 lessons, Lord, and talking about marriage, Lord, and how it relates to Stephen Covey, Lord, and just the principles of you, Lord, if you as you would have us live, Lord, as a godly family. Be with us and guide us, Lord, mostly husband and wife. Be with us and guide us as we go off into this class this morning and have our minds open and receptive, Lord, to the things that Stephen will relate to us, Lord, and we'll talk about and discuss, Lord, today. Have so much to be thankful for, Lord. Thank you for all the ones that are on the way, Lord, and ones that have arrived here so far. Help us to be engaged, Lord, in this lesson as we move forward. These blessings are the rest of all. In our Son Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, if you were here Wednesday night, we handed out some case studies. There's some on in the back row. If you didn't get one, we're going to be covering these today. And hopefully you all had a chance to read them and kind of think about how they apply. We're going to sort of be talking about the situations described in them and then see what ideas and solutions we can help find for these couples as utilizing the seven effects patterns that Stephen Covey brought them out. Thank you for doing that. So we're not going to go over the habits. We've done that extensively. But I did want to mention one thing that I hadn't heard throughout this entire class. You know, we talk about the habits. Stephen Covey talks about these habits as making us more effective. And we've looked at scriptures throughout the study. And we can see how these habits are scripturally based in many, many ways. The word I wanted to focus on was effective. Because when I think of effectiveness in a spiritual context, I think of being fruitful. Now, there's a lot of room for negotiations there. But I hope that you all might think about how when we're trying to be the best families that we can be, when we're trying to serve the Lord and become more fruitful, that doing things which are more effective is a great way to work down that path and go in that direction. So as we strive to utilize these habits, you know, hopefully day by day, week by week, as you move forward, you will see that they have benefits in the kingdom. Not just you being a better husband or father or mother or wife. It applies in everything that we do. So, having said that, what Larry asked me to do was have the class break up into groups. And read a case study. If you read them all and you've got notes on them all, that's great. But we want to break up into groups and have each group, we're going to try with four groups. Maybe we'll try with three groups and go from there. And see what we can do to better understand the situations that these couples have and talk about the solutions or ideas that we might have based on the seven habits to do those. So having said that, from the front row here back to Jason, be one group, and then everybody in the last two rows on this side and three rows on this side. Okay. Sorry, Chester, you're in group one. Chester,
we're in one.
The last three rows on this side from Steve back, and then two rows back on that side will be group two, and then the rest of you here in group three. I'd like you in group one to look at the story about Rob and Laura.
That's a pretty good thing to get.
Group two, Leonard and Lonnie. And group three, Rob and Ramona. So we're going to take 5, 6, 7 minutes to read or reread through this, talk amongst yourselves, and see how you can be effective in utilizing the habit.
Go for it.
All right. Rob and Laura believe they have a good marriage. After all, they've been married for 10 years. Finding time together, though, has become more difficult in recent years. The children are getting older, and the purchase of a house the year before has kept them both very busy. Rob's job is relatively stable, but bonuses they were counting on to help pay for the house has been smaller than expected. They feel fortunate that Laura has been able to earn some additional income through a part-time job at a local art gallery. She learned about the job while helping as a volunteer in the art classes at her children's school. Most weeks, the hours are manageable, but she particularly loves the work because it keeps her connected with the passion she developed while majoring in art in college. After a hectic weekend, in which it seemed they barely saw or spoke to each other, Dave had played golf all day Saturday, and Laura had been busy with the kids. On Monday morning, they both pledged to have a date night on Friday. Neither checked their schedule before making this plan. Tuesday, Rob had to work late, and he missed dinner and ate alone at the table while reading the newspaper. Laura was upstairs looking over details for an art showing scheduled the next day. They were both extra tired and went to bed with little conversation. On Wednesday, the rush to get ready for church was full of stress, lost shoes, last-minute phone call, misplaced lesson sheets. On the way to church, Laura tried to tell a story of something that had happened to her that day, but was interrupted several times. At church, Laura went to one class. Her favorite teacher was leading this class, and Rob went to another. He had always been interested in Old Testament history. On Thursday night, Rob coached their daughter's soccer team and kept an eye on their son at the same time so that Laura could have dinner with two friends from work. He had agreed to this only if Laura would pay for dinner out of her checking account. She had accepted but felt it was a little unfair since his golf game had come from their joint entertainment budget. Besides, she was really trying to save up for a new kitchen sink and faucet that Rob had still not recognized they needed. Later that evening, Laura was finally able to complete her story from the day before, but Rob didn't comment. He was trying to hear the score of one of his favorite teams. At 10:30, she asked Rob who was going to babysit the next night and where they were going on their date. Rob was a little irritated at the question. "You were supposed to find a sitter," was his reply. "That's always been your job, and you know I haven't had time this week to even think about tomorrow." Laura thought, "I have no idea what your work schedule has been like this week," and responded, "My schedule hasn't been any better." This led to a near argument, but she agreed to find someone as long as Rob paid for it out of his account. They both went to bed frustrated with each other. The next day, Laura called Rob to say that no one was available to watch the kids. That evening, after successfully getting the kids to bed early, Rob drove alone to pick up their takeout dinner. After an unsuccessful attempt to find a movie on demand they both liked, they finally settled on a rerun of a show they had seen before. Laura tried to read during the show, but fell asleep, while Rob looked over the team roster for his daughter's soccer team. Going to bed that night, Laura felt uneasy about the way the week had ended. Rob had not forgotten the disappointment of the evening. He was in a pretty good mood. He had decided to try new formation for the next day's soccer game that he remembered using when he played in college.
Okay.
Sounds busy.
Yeah.
Do you agree with Rob and Laura's assessment that theirs is a good marriage? No.
You went with a resounding no? Are you going based off, well, the seven habits that we had up there?
Yeah. I agree. I can interrupt you all for just a minute. These case studies were used in some previous classes in other contexts. We're not focusing on the questions at the bottom of the case studies. We're just focusing on the situation that the family's in. And trying to apply the seven habits to that situation. So this might save you all a few minutes. Just don't worry about the application that they were created for, but let's use them for our purposes.
It was a yes or no question.
Thank you.
Yeah. But we got the yes or no one right. All right. So the seven thingy boppers.
Habits. Seven thingy boppers. Let me give you the seven thingy boppers. The first one is be proactive. so that the habit of being permanent agent of change in your family, then begin with the end in mind, right? That's the mission statement. Putting first things first, making your family a priority. Think win-win, right? Moving from me to we. Seek first to understand and to be understood. That's solving through empathetic communication. Synergize. Sharpen the sword. So those are the seven habits.
So let's throw the proactive one out for a second. Beginning with the end in mind, it just doesn't seem like they've really thought through what marriage is to begin with. Like the key thing that triggered me, you know, listening to like Dave Ramsey, it's like they got separate checking accounts. They're not even financially living as a married couple, which is kind of a big red flag.
So you're thinking on the, you're thinking about the second point, beginning with the end in mind. Then they're not working along those lines. Is what you're thinking?
They're not working as a. It doesn't seem they're really working as a married couple. They're living separate. It's like they're two tenures in. And they're still continuing on this. Like they really haven't changed to be together of one mind in the last 10 years.
I would add to that. I would add number three, put in first things first. I think those things go together, right? Begin with the end in mind and then, you know, put in first things first. It seems as if a lot of things are just events are just overtaking.
I mean, it's clear to me, like, they have maybe their own tacit mission statements, but they're not, there's no like combined, there's no family mission here, mm-hmm. clearly. Mm-hmm. Or if there was, it's not.
They're not living it out.
Yeah.
I think that the thing that really stood out to me when we were talking about putting first things first is the idea that when you're constantly, well, no, maybe it was being proactive, when you're constantly acting in a reactive, mm-hmm. everything is an emergency,
right.
You know? So if you're not, it just feels like everything's an emergency right now because the time is so limited,
right.
And they're stretched so thinly that everything is a reactive response. Like, okay, now I need to plan for the soccer game, and now I need to do this, and now I need to do that because it's so thin. And even finding a sitter is an emergency because it was... And I'm speaking from experience, you know, like it frequently happens that way where it's like, okay, we've got a plan, but because I didn't proactively think about all the details oriented with the plan, then one piece of it, which oftentimes is a babysitter,
right.
gets left to the end because it's like, I don't like asking people to watch the kids, you know, like.
Who is that?
I'm going to say, that's Katie.
It's Chester. Me, yeah, it's Katie. It's me.
Yes.
Oh, my response to that is like, yeah, it always works out.
I think to go along with that, I think you're right, it's on the proactive thing. I think to go along with that, one might say sharpen the saw. It's what he mentioned at the end, which is, hey, you know what, find time to kind of fix the thing. You need to probably, you know, decide, hey, we need to renew things. It's 10 years, somebody mentioned 10 years of marriage, and it's like, you know, it's like a roller coaster. It looks like they're doing this in terms of activities.
Is this unusual? Or is this what pretty much everybody looks like?
I would say it's probably more typical than we like to think.
This is very normal.
I was about to say, this is life over here. I mean, this is life with kids. This is
just kidding.
I think that's where sharpening this, like with every step, as your kids, I mean, that's where the sharpening this sort of comes in. You have to look at, as you're very frequently, how do we need to adjust because life is getting busier. And some things you can't help with busyness, but that's where I think being proactive comes in. Not that I'm doing that, just to.
Who's that?
Emily.
Okay, I hate to bring us all back together because I can tell y'all are making good use of the time, but let's go ahead and bring them back together so that we can all gain from all of the examples that we've been talking about, okay? What do we know about Rob and Laura? How would we describe their situation in a few words?
Rob and Laura, we think it's more typical of probably families today than we would probably like to think. Kids are pretty busy, and it seems as if separate interests are probably separating the two, the couple at least, the husband and wife, more than they probably would like. And after 10 years of marriage, I think they're probably taking things for granted, probably getting a little comfortable. I think with Rob and Laura, it seems like they have done some things which some folks might think are a little bit concerning, i.e., you know, the separate accounts.
Yeah. Katie made the point they're more like roommates than being married.
Yeah.
So what's the solution?
You guys could chime in.
you described the situation pretty well. They're very busy. They've been married 10 years. They've got two kids. They're going back and forth. All kinds of stuff going on. So how did they fix it?
I think we saw a number of things here. If you look at these seven habits, one of them being proactive. You know, actually, my habits... For some reason, my habits have proactive twice, so I guess there must be an emphasis on being proactive.
Really proactive.
And then we thought, putting first things first, they need to probably focus on, you know, what it is that they really want as a family, and probably look at a mission statement. Basically, determine what it is that they want for their family. It seems as if they've just been overtaken by events. We also talked about sharpening the saw, which is, you know, basically a renewal. It's 10 years of marriage for them, and it seems as if they can do with some of that. The attempt, it looks like, they made an attempt to have a date night, but it was like, it fell apart. It looks like it wasn't planned out well.
Yeah, it's very, I would say, because they've gotten perhaps so far away from, if they had a mission statement, which it isn't even evident, like, by the way they are, if they ever even thought about that, but if they did, they've gone so far from it that even, it's almost like a very cursory attempt to have a date night. There was no real effort there by either party because they've gone in their own separate directions on what they're doing, whether it be for, you know, good reasons, making sure they're taking care of what they need to with the kids, or their jobs, or for their own selfish reasons. They've just moved so far apart that to do something together, they're not really trying because they've moved so, you know, so far for that mission statement.
Okay. One of the things about a mission statement is you're trying to figure out what your family is all about. Is this family all about, you know, art classes and coaching soccer and reading books and catching up on the score of the game or playing golf? It seems like that is what their family is about.
Some of that might be in that mission statement. Agreed, yes.
You know, even when they go to the services on Wednesday night, was it for the right reasons? Oh, he's my favorite teacher. Oh, well, you know, we just barely get there on time and all the challenges that go along with it. You know, Cubby talks about big rocks coming first, right? Mm. These people look like they've got 1,000 pebbles. They're hauling around every day,
right?
And there's no room for the big rocks. We need to make sure that we're doing the important things and putting them first.
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts from you all or anyone about that first case study? You know, I might mention the communication, which is a big part of that. You know, their listening habits are bad, right? You know, and how are you going to, if it's to seek first to understand, then be understood? Wait a minute, did I get that right?
That's what I was thinking about, yeah.
Yes.
So how are they understanding each other? They're not even listening to each other.
To back up to that step, to that basic step, you know, just for them, you know, married couple, you know, back all the way up, you know, just before you even started working on the kids, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think it supports the idea too that if, like, if you haven't even started from the basics, from the very beginning, that each of those things builds on each other. So you can't possibly seek first to understand if you're not being... Do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
you know, first things first?
Right. Because there's so many balls in the air, there isn't even time to listen. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know that this case study talks about how bad they are at listening. They're just bad at communication. I said they barely spoke to each other, so they didn't actually say what their expectations were.
There's no effort made.
Right, right. I don't know that they talk about poor listeners.
She tries to tell a story in the car and it gets cut off, and by the time she tells it the next day, he's catching up on the scores and not even paying attention.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you're sitting in front of a TV and trying to listen to your spouse at the same time, you know how well that works. You know, it just may be one more thing and then we'll move on.
I just want to make a comment on this. This could be a positive or it could be a negative. I think sometimes it's good to, as a husband and wife or as individuals, have some type of interest outside of, you know, the spouse or the family. It seems as if for them, those are pulling them apart rather than actually helping them as they come back together. But I do think there's a benefit for that. But I think for these two, what's his name?
Rob
and Laura. I think these are pulling them apart, especially with how they have their financial arrangements made up.
Well, it was interesting that she made time to go out with her girlfriends, but they just kind of came in. So yeah. There was obviously more effort for the fourth day.
You know, and they're doing a lot of things that on the surface might seem useful. You know what I mean? Coaching a soccer team is one way to have an influence on other people and other families.
And that's his daughter's
soccer team. Provide a good example. You know, they're at church Wednesday nights. You know, but are they really being effective in what they're doing? And the one thing I'm thinking about is these two people really seem like they're independent of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that fourth habit talks about, you know, becoming interdependent. Where, you know, maybe he should bring the kids to her art showing. Or, you know, maybe they can still have some things that they do, but maybe work at doing them together as a family more. Which means fewer of those pebbles, but maybe better growth as a family as a result. Well, let's move on to the case of Leonard and Lonnie, which is group two. What's their situation?
We got two different personalities. We got Leonard, who's an accountant, who's very disciplined and organized. His wife Lonnie is the opposite. He's organized. Always running late, the house isn't always in order. So Leonard sees this, he's being proactive and seeing something's changed, but he's not being effective. The way he's going about it, he gives her a list to do every day, and he checks in during the day to see if she's following the list, and when he gets home at night, he quizzes her about how she spent her day and what she did and where she spent her money. So he's being proactive. He sees his role as head of the household, but he's not being effective in how he's achieving that. A couple of things looked at was like have a four that thinks win-win, moving from me to we. Still kind of, there's a line there. I mean, Leonard is like, hey, she's not doing this. But it's kind of point the finger at her. Lonnie, on the other hand, she's not, doesn't seem to be being proactive herself. She's not really doing change. And also not, you know, trying to understand each other. There's really communication, trying to understand Leonard, trying to understand where Lonnie's coming from, Lonnie's trying to understand where Leonard's coming from. Those are a couple of things. Anything else? That's kind of the situation.
Okay, so ideas and solutions?
I mean, one thing, Leonard's like, is complaining outside the family about what Lonnie's doing. One solution we talked about for Lonnie, maybe, you know, an older, experienced woman, to help her. Member church, a helper.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Communication, they don't talk at all. Yeah. They both have different visions of the marriage.
Is anybody making deposits in the emotional bank account?
No. Neither one of them.
Neither one of them is.
And we made that comment, but yeah, he's definitely not making deposits in the...
So is this family going in the right direction? I don't think so. But look at some of the things about him, you know? Great career, impressive Bible knowledge, teaches classes, fills in preaching, recently appointed a deacon. I would just ask you all to think about, what's that going to get him if his family is torn apart in 5 years? Or they're divorced, and they've, you know, fallen away.
That's one of his requirements for being a deacon, doing this, his family. That's one of his requirements.
That's okay to answer. You're good to answer.
Careful, Rob.
He has all vital knowledge. Well, if he doesn't put that knowledge into practice or into action, then it serves him no good. So if he is really astute at the Bible, then chances are things would be a whole lot better in his household if he's just applying.
At some point, you know, is he going to be sort of acting hypocritically? He's trying to serve God, and yet, you know, he's completely ignoring the needs of his family. And I had that down, by the way, as a beginning with the end in mind, which is the second habit. You know, you can have all kinds of personal accomplishments, but that's not going to build an effective family in and of itself. Sometimes you have to step back from the things you're capable of doing and do what the family needs having done instead. And it's a humility thing in many respects. It's a process. You know, each of us has strengths and weaknesses. You know, she kind of comes across in this story is not being very, you know, adept. But then you kind of see, you say, well, think about it. She's good-natured. She comes from a large and loving family. What do you think these kids are learning? Watching their dad give lists and make checkup calls and run down the day's events. You know, are they going to be balanced kids if it's all about getting everything done on the moment?
Yeah.
No,
probably not. But hopefully, at 3 and 9 months, hopefully they're not being influenced too much by that. I hope, but probably not going to change if dad continues the way.
Mm-hmm. But what about her role too? I mean, you know, she's the homemaker. She stays at home. She's given responsibility to manage that. And is it a win-win for him to sort of yank that from her? Take all control of it and try to, you know, we will be here at this time and I want receipts for everything you spend and, you know, how did you do today? What's your grade? You know, and there's no synergy there, obviously.
Yes, exactly.
You know, he's not taking advantage of what she can do. He's trying to turn her into him. Please.
I think Covey talks about giving, you know, someone like the goal, but not telling them how to do it, and just making sure the goal is clear. Like, this is what we want. I'm here to help. This is your role. Like, this is what needs to be done. But like allowing them the freedom to accomplish that in the way that they see that it should be done. And then assisting, you know, as needed. I think he had an example of his kid taking care of the lawn or something like that. Maybe an approach like that, rather than dictating exactly like how everything needs to be done.
Please.
And if they have shared goals, like the second point, like a shared mission statement, then maybe Lonnie would be more want to put more energy into attaining the goals instead of just, not that she shouldn't be trying to please her husband, but if they have agreed goals, then she might be more willing instead of him just kind of telling, this is what I want today and let's check on it. And then also, I mean, we opposites attract. He obviously has some good organizational qualities, and maybe her strong suit is the nurturing, or the, if they could work together, that's a really great team, you know, really great team that can balance each other.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Any other thoughts? Well, I'll just note that, as I kind of alluded to before, you know, his role as a father is a little bit underdeveloped. Yeah. He's missing out on being a father who shows concern and care for his kids. He's busy, but in a very different way. Yeah. You know, he probably spends a lot of time in his Bible. Anything wrong with that? No. If you spend all of your time in the Bible to the detriment of your family, you know, then you're spinning your wheels. Really? You've got to figure a few things out still. Let's move on to our third example. Rob and Ramona. This is group three. What's her situation?
Well, it's pretty obvious that Rob is not leading, and he doesn't seem to be taking his Christianity, newfound Christianity, very seriously. And it was mentioned that he does not really have the end in mind in his life and his family's life. Those are the issues.
Okay.
The issues.
Well, a little more about the situation here. You know, a newly married couple, or they've been married, I guess, 5 years?
6 years.
6 years. Two little girls. He's brought up in the denomination. Just baptized a couple months before. His wife, now, finally, he's baptized. You know, she's saying, let's do devotions. I need you to lead prayers. Everything's going to change now. And he is apparently not up to the task. And it's causing, he makes this comment at the end that's really strong to me. He says, it seems like his conversion has hurt the relationship rather than helped it. So they're kind of in a tenuous place. So let's get out our seven habits and what are some solutions here? Well, what might we do?
One thing we discussed is that with the changes in his life, his conversion, if they had a mission statement before, most likely it has dramatically changed now. So they need to either put that in place or at least revisit that to account for, you know, his new direction and how that will affect his role in the family and what he should be doing to lead his family.
And putting first things first, we talked about how he might not, she's made the suggestions, but he is a new Christian. And I think oftentimes, just a blanket over those of us who grew up in the church, someone becomes a Christian, we just automatically think they know everything that they're supposed to be doing, but they don't. And she has made suggestions, but maybe she needs to start smaller and just say, I'm going to do this with the girls at night. Would you mind to just pray for us at the end? Because maybe, you know, I think it says she's doing a great Bible character study. Well, he's probably thinking, I don't know any great Bible characters. I can't add anything to that devotion. But he can add a prayer. And so in my thought, that's putting first things first. She can help guide him to how he should lead without usurping his leadership role. I don't know if I'm saying that exactly right, but do you kind of see what I mean?
I do. There's a bit of a timing issue here. I mean, he's a babe in Christ. You know, he's drinking milk. She's like, are you ready to lead devotions yet? Are you ready to take on all these additional responsibilities now that you're a Christian? You know, but he's great clay. You know, it says he's honest and pure, and he's outgoing, he's personable, and he really enjoys spending time with the girls. A lot of things that you want in a dad. If you're dating somebody here. You know?
Okay.
But sometimes being proactive means not pushing. You know? Sometimes it means not she's just reacting to the problem. Well, spiritual immaturity is not really a problem for someone who's been a Christian for 2 months.
Yeah.
Maybe if he's been a Christian for 5 years, she can be pushing a little harder. But he just needs to grow. And he enjoys spending time with his brothers and sisters in Christ, except that she discourages him. He wonders if he's made the right decision. You got to be careful there. I really like the idea. One thing about the family mission statement that Covey talks about is creating a more shared sense of unity, identity, and commitment. You know, well, his identity has changed. You know, they need to think about some plans. And spiritual growth clearly comes first. Right? I have one more thought here. Where is it? Oh, about her urgency, you know, and having him take this role. You know, Covey talks about this time management matrix, where you got things that are less important or more important, and then less urgent and more urgent. And he says that where we are most effective is when we're dealing with things that are important but not urgent. Maybe if she just pulled back on the urgency side and stressed the importance, you know, the growth will come. But maybe it's not him leading the devotion. Maybe it's him just spending more time with other brothers and sisters in Christ.
Okay. There's probably a lot of shortcomings on the wife's part here, but the Bible talks about husbands living with their wives in an understanding way. And maybe Leonard, or Rob, whatever his name is, Rob, would take the time to talk about it with his wife if it's an issue, or just understand, hey, this is really, really important, and I need to do a little better than going in a different room while this is going on.
And maybe that mission statement goes along with that, mm-hmm. that he sets as a goal himself to develop. Because, you know, I was not a Christian until I was an adult. But it changes not just your relationship with other people, but your concept of what it means to be a husband, your concept of what it means to be a father. Things change, and it doesn't just happen overnight. You know, I'll share this example. When I became a Christian, I found many, many things very easy to change in my life. Sometimes the words that came out of my mouth when I was on a basketball court, that took longer. Sometimes we get caught up in things, and old habits just leap to the fore. And it's important we remember that these are habits, so we want to try to develop these habits, because that then, you know, makes it easier for us after weeks and after months and after years to just sort of default to doing the right thing, as opposed to doing the thing that maybe is just the most expedient or easiest to do at the time. Other thoughts? Well, fortunately, we have time for case four, which is actually listed on lesson 13. It's about John and Jackie. And I'll just read this to y'all, and then we'll just make an application or two, and the class will be done. John and Jackie have been married for 5 years. They attend a congregation of about 60 members in the suburbs of a large metropolitan area where there are a few other churches. John has a steady job as an assembler technician with a small manufacturing firm and could grow to become a supervisor in a few years. But because of his education, only one unsuccessful year of college will not grow much beyond that. John's health care coverage is not great, and John and Jackie have incurred some debt because of the house, car trouble, and the baby. Jackie worked until her only child was born about 2 years ago. Jackie has an aptitude for computers, and since quitting her job as an administrative assistant, where she learned many of the advanced computer skills, has created a surprisingly good income doing web design at home. Her work is much in demand by referrals from several small companies all over the United States. One of these companies has grown such that they require a full-time web design lead and have offered to pay Jackie about twice what John makes to come and work full-time. The job offer also will cover all relocation expenses, including buying their current house.
Messages. Now, Shannon Marie Stachich. Good morning.
The company offers free child care as a part of a great benefits package. There are two or three companies similar to the manufacturing firm where John works in the city where Jackie's new job would be. They're struggling with the decision whether or not to take the offer. So I think you all can see the situation here. You know, big decision coming up, right? Mm-hmm. Well, any ideas? What should they do?
This reminds me of that chart that Marty always puts up, you know, in terms of pleasing God, you know, the blocks, the building blocks. What's on the bottom is pleasing God.
34 minutes. Stop recording. Duration. 34 minutes. 42 seconds. Stop. Duration. 34 minutes. 45 seconds.
I'm trying to remember the block. Stop recording.
Button.
This kind of reminds me of. They need to kind of know where their focus is, and I think that points to the kind of family mission statement. What it is that we're about, what is our objective, what it is we're trying to seek and achieve as a family. Maybe some others can help me with the building block from Marty's pleasing God pyramid. But that's what I think of. I think that's probably a place for them to start. Before they simply just make this decision out of just the circumstances, they need to know what's the thing that is important in their life.
I agree 100%. What are some of those tools about that family mission statement? Every voice gets heard. Everyone gets a say. There's this empathetic or empathic listening. Mm-hmm. You know, we're really trying to pay attention. You know, things are written down. It's a whole lot easier to make a complex decision mm-hmm. when you start putting lists together, right? Now, family mission statement would go a long way. Ultimately, they need to determine what their family is going to be all about. Mm-hmm. I mean, is there something wrong with them taking this job?
Depends.
The loaded question, I know.
Well, that's what Wayne was getting at. It really depends on what their motivation is. If the reason they are going to move is because it will allow them more mental capacity to focus on pleasing God, then that might be a good decision. But if the reason they're doing it is so that they can pursue more worldly comfort to be more pleasing to themselves, then no. So you can't just look at it on the surface without, and of course you can only maybe analyze their motives from inside their heads, but it's really their motives that are going to judge whether it's right or wrong.
And I think that just to follow along with that point, I think the information that we have here is we don't have that information. Hey, we just have the fact that, I don't know if this is deliberate on the part of the person writing this, they aren't saying anything specific about church or anything, so that all of that's missing from there. It doesn't say that, hey, there's a great church there, they can learn stuff, there's, you know, opportunities for, you know, John to grow, Jackie to teach, so all of that stuff is missing. So one kind of thinks, okay, what about the spiritual aspect of this decision? All we get is all the physical benefits and how they can get out of their debt and what have you. So I don't know if that's telling or not.
Because I've moved a lot and God is way, so I can say this. And then, but he always made a T-chart for us, the negative and the positive of this move. And I will tell you, he was not a Christian then, but he always asked my opinion of the city. And we would go and worship in the congregation. And I'm forever grateful for that issue when he was not a Christian, but respected my opinion on that decision. And if it's not a spiritual decision at the top, then you're going in the wrong direction.
My wife and I did the same thing. We've lived in 7 states, and it all started with, is there faithful Christians there? If there
are, you're going to start a work.
You know?
But I couldn't start a work by myself.
Be difficult. Yep. And they do have to make this decision about the family setup. You know, maybe he could be a stay-at-home dad. They just got to figure out what it is the destination is. You know, and you talked before about, you know, values and principles and, you know, what is this for?
So on that, there is a clue in here what their intentions would be. It says the company offers free childcare as a part of a great benefits package. So it sounds like part of the appeal is somebody else gets to raise this kid, which is obviously a bad deal.
For 3 years, he could go back to college and get a degree or go to technical school, and then she could step back and, if you have a long-term mission statement,
right.
Part of that is looking ahead and saying, okay, what's the next 2 years? What are the next 2 years after that? Mm-hmm. What's the next 2 years after that?
Agreed.
Well, we've used up our time. I understand that Wednesday is going to be a review session.